Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time, thanking and praising your name for another Sabbath day and the opportunity to come before you. We ask, Father, that your spirit would be mightily upon us and that you would bless each and every one of us that has come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we love you and we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and for the great feast of unleavened bread that we just experienced. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless your servants, to cause each one of us to truly look into your word and have that correct us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to do just that, because we know that so many people are living in situations where they cannot worship you freely. So we thank you, Father, for the blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. Again, Father, we ask that your will would be our desire, and that your word would have free course in us, and that each one of us, Father, would keep your covenant and do that which is right in your sight. Again, we thank you for the great sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah, and in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Our opening scripture, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 11, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. It says, knowing therefore the fear of Yahweh, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to Elohim. And I hope that we are made manifest in your consciences also. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but speak as giving you occasion of glorying on our behalf, that you may have something to answer them that glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we are beside ourselves, it is unto Yahweh, or whether we are of sober mind, it is unto you. For the love of the Messiah constrains us, because we judge thus, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who for their sakes died and rose again. Therefore, we from here on know no man after the flesh, even though we have known the Messiah after the flesh. Yet now we know him, so no more. Therefore, if any man is in the Messiah, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. But all things are of Yahweh, who reconciled us to himself through the Messiah and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that Yahweh was in the Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their trespasses, and having committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of the Messiah, as though Yahweh were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of the Messiah, be reconciled to Yahweh. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of Yahweh in him. I've entitled this message, We Are Ambassadors. As ambassadors of Yahweh, how do you present yourselves to the world? One of the new NFL draft picks fell in the draft due to the things he advertised of himself on Facebook. Many employers, schools, and others who would do business with you check out the social networks to evaluate what type of person you are. Now, this NFL player cost himself about $15 million because of his behavior on Facebook. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, We're going to start in verse 6. It says, "For you are a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, above all nations that are on the face of the earth. Yahweh did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but because Yahweh loved you and because he desired to keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, as Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." And we know Egypt is synonymous with sin. "Therefore know that Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them." We're supposed to be a holy people to Almighty Yahweh. Is that how we present ourselves on Facebook or other social networks, or in the public? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, we'll start in verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. For I say, through the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in the Messiah, and severally members one of another. So we represent each other as ambassadors to Almighty Yahweh, as holy people to Yahweh." Verse 6, "And having different gifts according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorts to his exhorting. He that gives, let him do it with liberality. He that rules, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy." That's very important for us to understand, brethren. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate that which is evil, cling to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints. So we're concerned with each other and our brethren. Given the hospitality. And that's one thing that you heard Al speaking about, as well as Christine, hospitality of being there in Mobile, Alabama, visiting and keeping the Passover with Cheryl and the brethren down in Alabama. You know, we enjoy going to Alabama. We enjoy visiting the brethren because they are hospitable. 14, "Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me, and I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Luke chapter 18. We'll start in verse 1. Luke 18, 1. And he spoke a parable to them to the end that they ought always to pray and not faint. So this is the purpose of the parable, so that they would pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not Elohim and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the teacher said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And shall not Elohim avenge his elect that cry to him day and night? And yet he is long-suffering over them. I say to you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's the question I have before you today. As ambassadors, as we are ambassadors of Almighty Yahweh, when Yahshua returns, will he find the faith on the earth? People are having a hard time being faithful, and we're not yet in the tribulation, brother. Luke 17, we'll start in verse 1. This is Yahshua speaking, and he said to his disciples, it is impossible that the occasions of stumbling should come. But woe to him through whom they come. It were well for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were thrown into the sea, rather than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and 7 times turn again to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And that's something we have to keep in mind, brethren. We're human. You know, we do have problems. And sometimes those problems will interfere with something that our brethren are doing, or they may judge based on something they see in our lives. And like I said, you know, this social network that everybody seems to be a part of, you have to watch out because there's a lot of influences there, you know, on the young and the weak and even some who think they're very, very strong, which we'll get into a little later. Verse 5, it says, and the apostle said to the teacher, increase our faith. And that's what we need right now, brethren. We need our faith increased. And the teacher said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamine tree, be you rooted up and be you planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Remember, we talked about the power in what we declare. And we can declare things and have them come to pass if we have enough faith, if we believe. But who is there of you having a servant plowing or keeping sheep that will say to him when he has come in from the field, come straightway and sit down to meat, and will not rather say to him, make ready, that I may sup, and gird yourself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded? Even so you also, when you have done all the things that are commanded, commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which it was our duty to do. Think about that, brethren. Drop down to verse 22. And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they said, they shall say to you, lo, there, or lo, here. Go not away, nor follow after them. For as the lightning, when it flashes out of the one part under the heaven, shines to the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he that shall be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not go down to take them away. And let him that is in the field likewise not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. She turned back, and that's something we can't do, brother. Whoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I say to you that in that night there shall be two men on one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. And there shall be two women grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. There shall be two men in the field. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. And they answering say to him, where, teacher? And he said to them, where the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. That word, body, is number 4983 in the Greek, soma, from 4982, which is sozo, which means it's a prime root. Now, the term the body as a sound, as a whole, and it means safe, to save, such as deliver or protect, to heal, preserve, save self, do well, be made whole. And that's what we want, brethren. We want to be made whole. We want to be saved. And for us to be saved, we as ambassadors of Almighty Yahweh, have to put on the right appearance, front to people. You know, and I have a, well, I'll get into it in a minute, but I have a question concerning, say, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a type of Eliah, and we are supposed to be Eliah. Now, John the Baptist wore a different type of uniform, okay? He didn't look like everybody else. Matter of fact, he was the son of a priest. But John came and people thought he was a little different because of his garment, his outerwear, you might say. But the message that John brought the people listened to and they received. They believed John. In John chapter 1, you turn over there, verse 19, it says, "And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent to him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and denied not, and he confessed, 'I am not the Messiah.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Eliah?' And he says, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he says, 'No.' They said, therefore, to him, 'Who are you? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself?' He says, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of Yahweh,' as said Isaiah the prophet. And they have been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, 'Why then baptize you if you are not the Messiah, neither Eliah, neither the prophet?' John answered, saying, 'I baptize in water. In the midst of you stands one whom you know not, even he that comes after me, the straps of whom sandals I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" And see, John's outfit was camel's hair. I mean, he was, it wasn't your normal garb. He didn't dress like the rest of the people, okay? So, not that he did it to make himself special. What he was doing made him special. But what John was doing was trying to get people to repent. And as ambassadors, that's our job as well. Now, Al was commenting on a question on Facebook about whether we are supposed to wear fringes. He answered correctly, and I would like to commend him on his diligence. And if you want to turn over to scriptures in Deuteronomy, actually look at Numbers first, Numbers 15. Numbers 15, verse 37. "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and tell them that they should make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of each border of a cord of blue. And it shall be to you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that you follow not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to play the harlot. And you may remember and do all my commandments. Be holy to your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim.'" And in Deuteronomy chapter 22 is the Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12. It says, "You shall make a fringe, make yourself fringes upon your four borders of your garment with which you cover yourself." Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. We'll start in verse 1. See, we are ambassadors. And before we get into Matthew 23, I want to share something with you. In Numbers 15, 39, it says, "And it shall be to you for a fringe, that you may look upon it." And that's the point I want to make, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh to do them. In Matthew 23, "Then spoke Yahshua in verse 1 to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not you after their works, for they say and do not. Yes, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, that but they themselves will not move them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men. And that's what I see with a lot of the people wearing fringes. They do it to be seen of men and not for their own personal reminder of the commandment. You understand? For they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Yes, they'll have their fringe almost touching the floor. And that's one thing I can say about the brethren with the organization. Very seldom do you notice their fringes. Okay? Now, it's a commandment. Yes. And Yahshua kept all of Yahweh's commandments. So we'll deal with this. But let me finish here. It says in verse 6, and love the chief place at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called of men rabbi. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the Messiah. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. John chapter 14. John 14. And we'll start in verse 25. These things have I spoken to you yet, while yet remaining with you, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. So a lot of people feel they don't need to wear the fringe because they have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And that's fine. It's a personal commandment. It's to you. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. You heard how I said to you, I go away. I come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from this place. Yahshua kept all Yahweh's commandments. What about us, brethren? Yahshua was baptized, paid the half shekel, and he wore the fringe to fulfill all righteousness. He did not need to do this, but he did it for an example to us. Watch your intention. Is it to uplift your brethren, or is it to uplift yourself? We are ambassadors. Are we positive examples of Yahweh's holy people on the social media outlets or in the streets? Are people looking at you and wanting to know more about what you believe? I told you the story about a brother that was arrested after committing a crime, and the police asked him about his fringe. And he told them it was to remind him to keep the covenant. And they responded, so how is it working for you? They were making a joke about it, because here he is being arrested for doing something wrong, yet he had his fringes dangling, you know. Our actions are what will show people who we serve. The operative word in Numbers 15, 37 to 41, which is in verse 39, is that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments. And that's important, brethren, because most people, that I know are wearing the fringe are wearing them for other people. They're wearing them for other people to see. Not of Yahweh. Your fringes are not to remind your neighbors. They're to remind you. They're for you. This is a very personal commandment. So I will never judge a person if I see them not outwardly wearing a fringe, because some of us keep it personal between us and Almighty Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Starting in verse 1, it says, "You are the children of Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For you are a holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim. And Yahweh has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all peoples that are on the face of the earth. You shall not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which you may eat, the ox, the sheep, the goat, the hart, the gazelle, and the roebuck, and the wild goat, and the pigart, and the antelope, and the chamois, and every beast that has a split hoof divided in two and chews the cud among the beasts that you may eat. Nevertheless, you shall not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that have a split hoof completely divided, the camel, and the hare, and the coney, because they chew the cud but do not have a split hoof. They are unclean to you. And the swine, because he has a split hoof, but does not chew the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. These you may eat of all that are in the waters. Whatever has fins and scales you may eat, and whatever does not have fins and scales you shall not eat. It is unclean to you. Of all the birds you may eat. But these are they which you shall not eat, the eagle, the gear eagle, and the black vulture, and the gleed, and the falcon, and the kite after its kind, and every raven after its kind, and the ostrich, and the nighthawk, and the sea mew, and the hawk after its kind, and the little owl, and the great owl, and the horned owl, and the pelican, and the vulture, and the cormorant, and the stork, and the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat. And all winged creeping things are unclean to you. They shall not be eaten. Of all clean birds you may eat. You shall not eat of anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the sojourner that is within your gates, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. For you are a holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. You shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed, that which comes forth from the field year by year. And you shall eat before Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place which he shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there, the tithe of your grain, of your new wine, and of your oil, and the firstling of your herd, and of your flock, that you may learn to fear Yahweh, your Elohim. That's the purpose for going to the feast, to learn to fear Almighty Yahweh. And if the way is too long for you so that you're not able to carry it, because the place is too far from you, which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you, then shall you turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and shall go to the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. And you shall use the money for whatever your soul desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatever your soul asks of you. And you shall eat there before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall rejoice, and you and your household. And the Levite that is within your gates, you shall not forsake him, for he has no portion nor inheritance with you. And this is where the third tithe come in. At the end of every third year, 3 years, you shall bring forth all the tithe of your increase in the same year, and shall lay it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh your Elohim may bless you and all the work of your hand which you do. And it is the third tithe year, brethren. We are ambassadors of Yahweh. We must lead others by keeping the commandments of Yahweh, walking in the steps of the Savior. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 to 4. I have this on my computer. I wanted to read it in the English version. There's an English Bible version that I like. Let me grab it real quick. It says, starting in verse 2, Yahweh came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you when Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Israel or Jacob. First John chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. First John 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. That's the purpose. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, or the atonement, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk as he has walked. 2 Peter chapter 2. No, 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21-25. It says, for to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's Yahweh, Almighty Yahweh, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17 to 20. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, brethren, we are ambassadors. First Timothy 6. First Timothy 6. I'm going to start in verse 1. Let as many as are servants under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Yahweh and the doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but let them serve them rather because they that partake of the benefit are believing and beloved. These things teach and exhort. If any man teaches a different doctrine and consents not to sound words, the words of our master Yahshua, the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to holiness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questioning and disputes of words, of which comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and robbed of the truth, supposing that righteousness is a way of gain, but holiness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be content with that. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of Yahweh, flee these things and follow after righteousness, holiness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto you were called, and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. And one of the things that I do see when I get on Facebook, and I have a lot of friends who are of the Messianic persuasion, and there are a lot of, you know, discussions going on about this scripture or that scripture, and, you know, I do commend Al on what he's doing, because he does put forth a good front as an ambassador, and he is, you know, posting some of the scriptures, and that's why I knew he was in Ezekiel, because he posts some of these things, and it's very positive that what I see him doing. And we have to be positive examples of Yahweh's servants and good witnesses. So think about what you post on these social networks. Think about the pictures you post. Is it something that Yahweh would be ashamed of? Or is there something that Yahweh is going to condemn you for? Or, you know, if it's fine, that's wonderful. Everybody doesn't have the same taste. But as ambassadors of Yahweh, we have to be circumspect when it comes to what we put out there. Verse 13. I charge you in the sight of Yahweh, who gives life to all things, and of the Messiah Yahshua, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Think about your lives, brethren, and what you put out there, because we're going to be judged according to what we do. Which in its own, in verse 15, which in its own times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the sovereign of rulers, who only has immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power eternal. Amen. Our closing passage is going to be taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, putting away all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow by it to salvation, if you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious, to whom is coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with Yahweh elect, precious. You also, as living stones, who are built up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah, because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore that believe is the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, and we know who those builders were and are, the same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word, being disobedient, to which also they were appointed. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Yahweh's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in times past were no people, but now are a people of Elohim, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Brethren, we are ambassadors of Yahweh Most High, as we present ourselves to the world. So, brethren, whether you are on a social network like Facebook or MySpace or any other, carry yourselves as children of Yahweh, being an example to the world of one of Yahweh's holy people. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. Hallelujah. And at this time, I'd like to ask Brother Hal if he would close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father, we know we've just heard an inspiring message, and this message is convicting because we know, Father, that we sometimes don't always live up to the expectations of being an ambassador for Yeshua. And I know I'm guilty of doing things that aren't quite up to par. And I pray that you would forgive us, that you would cleanse us from our unrighteousness, as we read in John, in the book of 1 John. We believe, Father, that you will honor our prayers and that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a humbling thing, Father, to be an ambassador of Yahweh. We know that we must have a decorum that expresses Yahweh's righteousness. We know that we cannot earn our salvation, and that we have to put on Yeshua the Messiah. The Bible says that we have the mind of the Messiah. We need to think like the Messiah. We need to act like the Messiah. He is our example. So many times we blow it. And we're thankful, Father, that you don't cast us aside. You don't destroy us every time we make a mistake, because you are long-suffering. You're merciful. And you love us. We thank you, Yahweh, for this Sabbath day, for this time that we can gather together in holy convocation, time that we can set aside our mundane tasks and the things in this world that sometimes grate at us. We know that the enemy is always trying to steal our joy and our peace. And so we pray, Father Yahweh, that you would strengthen us, encourage us, and bless us. We pray for those that are on the prayer list once again. We know that you will touch their bodies, their finances, their minds, their emotions, and that you will be our Rapha, Yahweh Yireh, and provide what they need. We thank you, Father Yahweh, for the promises that we can stand upon in the Word. We know that you are in control and the promises are there for us to stand upon. We thank you, Yahweh, that we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath, and we are more than conquerors through Yeshua. So we give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor, and blessing. In the name of Yeshua, our Savior and Redeemer, as we say hallelujah, amen.